Welcome back, folks. This is the first episode on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, where we play the game, how would you retrofit that? Well, Greg and I go back and forth and discuss how we would handle each fixture as we came across it. This is probably a good show to watch on YouTube, although you could probably listen to it as well, because we describe the fixtures. So if you're up on fixture jargon, wall pack versus wrap, and you know what we're talking about, then you can just listen to it. But other than that, probably better watch this one on YouTube. Remember, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by who? Keystone Technologies. Go to KEYSTONETECH.com, Greg.
Yeah, and the one we're going to talk about today is actually referenced in the podcast, is the Sign Hero. We had a couple applications where signs came up, and what was your solution on both of them? Or on the one, at least. Was
Sign Hero, baby. Sign Hero.
That's right, because it's a unique product that not a lot of people have, and it's a relatively easy install, retrofit, upgrades a sign from fluorescent to LED just like that. You save the energy, you get longer life, you get the light you need. What more can you ask for?
Changing a sign ain't like changing a fixture, buddy. It's a lot more expensive. It's a hassle. It's a lot of work, especially a box sign, to take down a box sign and put up a new one. Just go Sign Hero. Come on, man. So easy. Sign Hero. Google Sign Hero, Keystone Sign Hero, or something like that. Just go to KeystoneTech.com. That's KEYSTONETECH.com, folks. KeystoneTech.com. And I want to take a minute to tell you a little bit about something special I'm doing on the side. I got my own podcast out. That's right. It's got nothing to do with the lighting show. It's called Get a Grip on Life. And Greg is my number one follower. He listens to every episode religiously. Which one was your favorite one, Greg?
Number 13. Is that out yet?
I thought you were going to say number one. No. Yeah. No, go to getagriponlife.com to check it out. That URL cost me a lot of money, by the way, getagriponlife.com. And of course, this episode and every episode of the Get a Grip on Lighting, Get a Grip on Lighting podcast is brought to you by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Go to NAILD.org. But for right now, son, all of our trade secrets, everything's on the table, our hearts, our minds, our souls, our knowledge. How would you retrofit that? So, Greg, what do you got us going on today? We have a picture on the screen here of what?
Well, that's a bollard. And what we have going on today, we haven't really planned this or discussed it, but we run into a lot of different light fixtures in the field because we sell lighting. I don't know if you knew that. But what we want to talk about today is on these different light fixtures, what is our initial thought? What is our go-to for an upgrade or a retrofit or an energy-efficient solution for that fixture? Now, my answer is typically going to be, it depends, but that's not what we're playing today. Today we're playing, what's the first thing that goes to your mind, and what would you put that in there? How would you
Can I ask
that,
any questions first? Can I ask any questions first?
We'll see how it goes. How about that? Okay, oh, yeah. Cool. Why don't you go ahead and ask questions first?
So you started off. Go ahead. No, right. Can I ask questions about the – okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No. On this fixture here, or on the picture you see on the screen on YouTube, yeah. If you're not watching on YouTube – it's a picture of a bollard. A bollard is a little short light fixture that you see a lot of times on pathways and walkways. If they want to upgrade that, let's say they have a metal halide or incandescent right now, what would you put in there?
Voltage. What's the voltage?
Okay, we're going to – so I know that there's a lot of depends.
Okay,
so
okay.
Everything we're talking about today is going to be 120 to 277.
Okay.
So we don't know – we're not going to know the voltage. We're going to know it's not 347. And we're going to know it's not 480. How
okay.
About that?
I'm going line voltage to the socket, and I'm putting a high wattage LED screw and bulb into it.
Okay.
How about you?
Based on that picture.
Yes.
Yes. It would be an Omnicob type light bulb where you bypass the ballast and screw that in. Bollards are, and the reason being is the other part we want to talk about. Bollards are extremely expensive to get a brand new bollard, and especially a fixture. And then down the road, how do you ever replace that? Then you have to buy a brand new bollard.
And then you have to buy all new bollards all the way along. The other thing, too, is how do you get maybe the base is a little corroded. Maybe the concrete base is cracked and you got to put a new base in. Yeah, no, I don't like taking out fixtures like that. It's a pain in the butt. So the best value for the client is going line voltage to the socket, I think, and putting in an LED cob bulb. Do we agree? Are we on the same page?
We agree on that one.
Okay, next.
You're next.
Next picture. That's a... that's an explosion-proof medium bay fixture for like a room where you're storing chemicals. What are you doing with that, Greg?
Well, again, I can't say it depends, but there are you need to know the class and the division first of all to figure all that out. But my first thought on an explosion proof, the best solution to me is to replace the entire fixture. How about you? First thought. And then
Oh,
we'll get into why.
yeah, you know, I'd retrofit it. I'd probably put something if it's possible. Like those fixtures, sometimes you can't change them. You can't change the technology inside of them without ruining the classification. So
That's right.
I would prefer to retrofit it if I could. But generally, with explosion proof, you're in a very careful environment. You have to be very, very cautious with what you do. A lot of times, actually, not recently, but in the past, we've left the HID explosion proofs in place.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I want to point out too is that I've looked into the same type of solution where you bypass the ballast and put in like an Omnicop light. I haven't seen one that is claiming they're rated for explosion proof or will back their warranty if they are. So ideally, that's a good solution, and I can't say that I haven't done that. I've even seen compact fluorescent screwed in, you know, 120 or 277 volt. Compact fluorescent medium base, mogul base screwed into a fixture like that, and it's worked. But is it the right solution? No, I think the best solution to be safe is to replace the entire fixture.
Yeah, I you know, you're talking about a very serious lighting environment. You want to be careful down there.
There you go. The next one is up on the screen. We will see a lot of these in the field, and they come in all varieties and shapes and sizes, and that definitely will factor into what your thought is, but it's a flood, an LED or HID flood light in this case, and could be used to light up a building. It could be used to light up a flag. It could be used to light up a sign or a parking lot. So I know the application is going to matter, and this is a real broad one, but in general, when you see a flood, what is your go-to?
I'm putting in a new LED fixture.
I agree. Got to go new LED fixture. Why would you do that?
Outdoor lighting is a different animal. You have seals on the fixtures. You have weather, especially in places like Minnesota and Ontario. You've got salt and snow, especially if it's mounted on the ground. And a lot of those fixtures are used on the ground to shine up on buildings. And so they'll get covered in snow, and that snow is mixed with salt. There's corrosion. There's all sorts of other stuff. And LED fixtures have really come down in price. So the idea of retrofitting that, by the time you retrofit it, you're probably at the same point in this particular situation. So I'm putting a new fixture on.
Yeah, and a lot of times floods are used to provide a lot of light to an area. And to retrofit something that needs a lot of light, you need a lot of times a big light bulb. Or in this case, if we were looking at like a Cobb type lamp, it would be big, and a lot of times it won't fit. But I agree. Got to go new fixture when you have an
the
exterior
retrofit
flood.
There is retrofit kits that fit in those. But they're almost as expensive as a new fixture anyway.
You're right. So we agree again.
My turn.
Yeah.
Fluorescent sign, Greg.
Okay, well, up until a while ago, I'd run away. I still tend to run away from signs. Just because, you know, you never know what's in those. Well, first, I got to answer what I would do. I would try to find an LED tube solution that would fit the fluorescent tube. That would be my solution.
Sign Hero is a great product, dude.
Yeah, from Keystone, that works perfect. So bypass the ballast, put a LED tube in that can fit. But the reason I run away, going back to that, is because I don't know what's in that thing. I'm not going to trust the customer unless they have a picture, unless they have a spec, something that shows it. Because I can't tell you how many times we say, oh, let's just add in a sign to a project that we're doing. Yeah, that sounds great. It's three light bulbs might be in there. And then you get into it and it's wrong. And then it screws up the whole project and delays things, and you have to have a go back, and it's all this labor cost to it that unless I know what is exactly in there, or somebody opens a sign before I quote it, I'm not going to even do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sign Hero changed everything for me. I would have agreed with you 100%. But you're a cherry picker now, eh? So I was as well. But you know what? The one problem with signs is they're very high liability. So they fall apart. You swing that door open. I've actually had in the past a sign literally, like we swung it open and the whole sign, like it was probably 40 feet long, the whole sign crashed down right in front
gross.
Of the bucket truck. Like the whole thing came off. It broke. It was rusted and it broke. And then you're talking like, I don't know, 1,000 pounds of metal comes crashing to the ground outside this store. And, you know, luckily we had the pylons around it or whatever. I was there. I saw it happen. I can remember the name of the company. And I was like, whoa, I don't like signs. So there's lighting business is fragmented, and sign service seems to be one of those things that's fragmented. So there's sign guys. There's people that go around and they fix signs. Do you have that in Minneapolis?
Yeah, definitely. There are sign-specific contractors that do that, and yeah, I tend to leave it to them.
Yeah, so I mean, I do signs now because of Sign Hero, but again, some of the bigger ones get really intimidating. You got a huge sign, it's like, whoa, that's a big, heavy ass sign.
Yep.
You know, son, I don't know. So yeah, I mean, I would say yeah, I would say on a case by case basis, Sign Hero.
All right.
I'm up here now.
The next one.
Are you? Oh yeah, I'm up. Yeah. Yep. Okay, go.
Next one would be, and this can come in all again a variety of shapes, sizes, colors, look, everything, is a flush mount ceiling fixture. A lot of times you see this in a multi-housing or a hotel or something in a hallway type setting. So what would you do if
you're talking, but that's plug-in CFL, right?
We don't know.
Okay.
I guess that depends. So we'll have to answer that. Let's say it's a screw-in or a plug-in. What is your solution for either?
I think there's a lot of nice plug-in CFL and a lot of screw-in light bulbs that you can put in there. And I mean, I think the choice rests on whether or not you want to bypass the ballast if it's a CFL. But even then, I still use the existing sockets and slam in an LED bulb into that thing, or I screw in an LED bulb into the sockets.
Yeah, I'd agree. If it's an incandescent, I would do a screw-in socket or a screw-in LED. But if it's a plug-in compact fluorescent, I'm back and forth on this one between if it makes sense to try to retro it with new plug-in lamps or to replace the entire fixture, because by the time you do that and the work that goes into it, a lot of times it's almost cheaper to do a new fixture. They're coming down in price. Every new construction, that's not everyone, but a lot of new construction that's being done is made with a built-in LED already, or you know, GU24 base or something like that.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where sometimes you talk to the customer depending on what's in it, and you say, look, do you want to just do the labor yourself here?
Yeah, screw it in then.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I'll just sell you the bulb. Ooh, neon. Oh, baby. Greggy, I'm glad you got neon. What would you do, big guy?
Can you repeat what I, or just replay what I said about two slides ago? I'm going to run.
Yes.
I'm going to run from neon. What are you going to do?
So, okay. So when I first started my service side of my lighting business, I would change the neon sign ballasts. Like there's a ballast there. But, really? You know, you got to know that the guys that fix neon, they actually get the glass tube and they melt it and they bend it, eh? So it's actually like a glass fitter. It's kind of like a trade to do that. And you can watch videos on how they make neon signs. But here's what I'll tell you, son. Neon is Betamax. It is over for neon. LED killed neon. So if I went into the neon sign, I say, look, buddy, if there's a crack in that glass, you're on your own. But I can change the neon sign ballast for you. That's it.
You're not upgrading to LED at this point, or have you converted any neon to LED?
I think, you know what? I don't even know. I wouldn't even know how to do that. I mean, I think you just buy a new sign. I think there's a sign place right next door to me that I refer people to. It's like, okay, you need a new sign? Go to see these guys next door. Neon's a tough one. I mean, those sometimes the glass gets broken and the letter will be out, and that's because it's a crack in the glass. So you have to repair the crack in the glass and fill it again with the neon gas and all that. That is a specialty, son, and only people that are over 55 know how to do that.
There you go. Stay away.
Okay. Next.
The next one is kind of similar to the flush mount ceiling, but this is a pendant light. You see these a lot of times more decorative, sometimes over desks or entryways or things, and they can range. Again, you can have a screw-in lamp in there. You can have a plug-in. You can have a small two-pin halogen. So that definitely is going to factor into your decision. So a screw-in, I think we can all agree that we're going to keep the pendant and screw in a bulb. But how about a plug-in, a small halogen? What would you do on that if they wanted to make it LED?
So, so here is my concern. Okay. I am not a lighting designer. Okay. So if you say, hey, I can deal with what light level they want, what color temperature they want, you know, whether they want a 0 to 10 volt dimming or not, or they want, you know, bi-level systems and occupancy sensors. When someone says, how is this fixture going to look? Is it going to fit in with my design? I'm going to say, I don't know, buddy. You're on your own. So I generally, with decorative, I try to keep the same fixtures as long as possible. If it was 12 volt, I might try to use one of those 12 volt bipin JC plugins. But a lot of times they don't deliver light the same way that a halogen does. Does that make sense? It's too small. G9 as well. The G9, sometimes a socket's really big. It doesn't fit in and stuff like that. So I would say maybe 30% of the time I would just leave it. If it was broken, I would repair the halogen. Sometimes, see, that's on a cord. So you see that one's corded. But sometimes we'll change the socket. So we'll, like the socket is inside of the cord and you can pull it out. Like it's got two screws. You can pull the socket out and you can put a different socket in with maybe, go from a G, the JC G4 socket is. I can't remember what it's called. Then go to a more of a GU10 style socket and put something in like that. That's a little more stable depending on the fixture. But generally, there isn't a lot of these. There's not a lot of money in them and there's a lot of pain in the butt hassle with them, Greggy.
I'm with you. And I think that's, you brought up, you kind of stated everything I'm thinking on that too. And when it comes to decorative fixtures, sometimes they're meant to be decorative and who cares about the energy efficiency? Make them look nice. And what looks nice oftentimes is the bulb that's currently in there. Let's keep that.
Yeah. So you'll walk in like some company, you'll have like 1,000 troffers and, 400 halides in the back and they'll have four of those over the front reception lobby. And I want it all LED. It's like, okay, we're going to go 99.8% LED, buddy. Because I'm not touching these bad boys. All right. Maddie, next. Ooh. We got a post-op here for you, Greggy. What are you doing?
Well, post-op, my first thought is to bypass the ballast, similar to a bollard, and screw in a cob-type lamp. How about you?
Depends on the light level needs of the client because some of those cobs get a little weird, with the way they distribute light. Especially if there's like, do you know how they have those ones that are with the base up metal halide where the light, the socket is actually at the top of the fixture because those might be it. And they really, and they have that kind of, I don't know if it's parabolic shape, but they have a really nice reflector and it's 360 degree and the light really comes out nicely and diffused out of the head. You put a cob in there, you're probably gonna downgrade your lighting and quality, I think. Yep. So it depends on that, but generally, yes, depending on wattage, if I can get away with screwing in a light bulb, I do it. Bypassing a ballast, screw in a light bulb, because then, hey, oh, there's a maintenance problem, here's a new light bulb. Right, fix it. I'm depending on what they want, I'm 50% new bulb, 50% slam, because actually those are the easiest ones to change the head on too.
Yeah, you could just slip it right over the top.
Yeah, it's like a slip fitter, boom. Yeah. So if the customer finds one they like, I would say 50% putting a new fixture and 50% keeping the existing one and retrofitting it in some way, depending on the halide option or the HPS option that's in there.
Yeah, and what's surprising to me about these fixtures is the fact that people don't seem to care as much as they should about the light output that they give. I've seen retrofit kits that are designed specifically to bring the light down and out, and that's what these lights should do. But a lot of people just want it glowing up in the sky. And when it does that, it's not really serving any purpose. So that's why I see a lot of cob type lights installed in that fixture. And what I start with, at least, a lot of times is that. But
a lot of cities really screw up these kind of lights. I mean, they really screw them up. I mean, they'll do. I remember this one path in Toronto. Basically the city of Toronto, and it's to this old town area of another town, and it's basically been amalgamated all into Toronto now, but there's like this thing, and they did a bunch of post-ops like that, but they put a first generation LED board in there, and it's all glare, dude. You drive down that area, you can't see it's way brighter, but you can't see the colors of cars. Like when it was HPS, you could see the different cars and the different colors of cars. But now you drive through it, everything is blurred because it's basically it's like when a cop stops you at one of those ride where to see if people are drinking, and he shines the flashlight right in your face and you can't see anything because the flashlight's right in your eyes. So you're driving down this bridge and it's like, oh no, I can't really see anything, although it's super bright. Those light fixtures get screwed up a lot, especially when they're retrofitted. So
Right.
That's a tough one, man. All right, Maddie, next one. Okay, so there's the recessed can, or pot light in this case, but it's looking like an outdoor one to me. Is it indoor or outdoor? I'm going to say, what would you do if this was outdoor, Greg?
It would be the same solution as what I would do indoor at this point, for the most part, if it's a plug-in. If it's a screw-in, it's usually a different story. So I think with recessed cans, it's important, you know, you have to make that distinction well, if it's an incandescent or HID screw-in matters too. If it has a ballast or doesn't have a ballast. There are a lot of options out there. Recessed cans, there's different sizes, different things you have to think about with it. But I used to be more of a bulb, but in the last 6 months, I've been all inserts for the most part on a recessed can. How about you?
So I like the inserts, especially for outdoor, because you see how that trim in that picture is kind of lower on one side than the other. And it looks like the seal's kind of broken a little bit. And then especially on the outside, you get a little bit of, or even on the inside, you get a little bit of drywall cracking around it or whatever. And it doesn't look, especially if it's really old. So I like the inserts. You get a new seal for the outside. It's especially one that is not a straight flat panel that has a little bit of a, it recesses up a little bit. You've seen those ones I really like.
That's a key. That's a key. And a lot of people don't do that. They still keep it down to the surface. And it's super glary when you
see that. That's all glare, man. Come on, bro.
So you need an insert that recesses up.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the reason why, based on what you said too, but when you have those plug-in compact fluorescents, the sockets inside those are the worst. You know, you can a lot of times retrofit them and put a plug-in CFL LED. But if the socket's in bad shape, you're just putting a Band-Aid on that thing and making it LED until the socket breaks and you have to replace the thing anyways.
And those inserts are so cheap now, dude. They're so cheap. I mean, we don't have any that are IEEE 1789 standard compliant yet. I haven't seen one. Have you? That's flicker free?
No, I haven't.
That's why I don't put them inside, son. Because I don't like the flicker. Because if you put your phone up on those inserts, and especially when you dim them, they're flicking like crazy. But I'd love to see one that's IEEE 1789 compliant with the flicker. But outside, man, that's a no-brainer. Come on. Especially you have those canopies and that. After you do the LED, if they have a CFL, HID with the lumen maintenance, you do your little quick before and after picture, bro. Boom. Yeah. It looks real nice, especially if you recess it up. Flat panels are overrated. Say bye to the flat panel in 2x4 and 1x4 and 2x2 and round and little square. Bye, flat panel. You're done. See you later. Everything should be recessed up. You don't want that direct glary light. Come on. Ugh, gross. Ugh, I can't see. The cop's shining the lights in my eyes. No more flat panels. Come on, man. That's so 2015.
And one thing to touch on, it kind of relates because we're talking recessed cans and we're lighting people. And I just got a call a half hour before we started talking here from people that are putting in, you know, those rabbit ear type inserts that are 120 volt, very inexpensive. But they're putting them into a plug-in CFL recessed can and they're just jamming them in there. I've seen that over and over at many places. And so when we're talking an insert, get the right insert. You know, if you're going to do a plug-in CFL, get the one that has the clips on it. 120, 277 volt rated typically is what you need to just to be safe. But I just
is there anything in the States that's not 120 to 277 volt rated?
Yeah, well, those rabbit ear deals that I'm talking about, the real inexpensive ones, are 120 only. And a lot of people I've seen are putting them into plug-in CFLs. And they're making these ears, turning them upside down, trying to smash them into a compact fluorescent can.
Oh, gosh.
And it's just funny what kind of options are out there, but yeah.
Yeah, so that's the Greg and Michael's review of how we would... Here, there's all your trade secrets.
I believe we have one more.
We have one more. Okay, we're not calling it yet. Okay, we're not calling
we'll
it.
We'll edit that out.
I leave it in. We're not calling it yet. It's not 11. You can't call it before 11, Greg.
That's right.
It's a shoebox. Up to me or you?
That's to me, to you. It's a shoebox area light. What do you do on that thing?
Of all the fixtures, okay, out there that are outdoor lights, a pole-mounted 100%, I don't know what the lighting dork description of this is, but like where it's facing straight down, that fixture plays itself best to a retrofit, okay? That one. But still, I'm going to say 75, 80% of the time, I'm pulling it out and putting in a new LED fixture.
I would agree with you on that. We have done both for sure, where you bypass and retrofit. But I think in general, it's always best on exterior fixtures as a whole to go new fixture. You know, similar to what you talked about with the flood. And then now here's an area light. A lot of times there's floods on poles. This just happens to be a shoebox on a pole. But I would do a new fixture on that.
Yeah, you know, the reason why, what tipped me to the new fixture on outdoor, what tipped me over was just the cost is so low now for a new fixture. Right. You know, back 2015, 2014, you're talking $600 for the fixture. Ooh, the retrofit kit's only $350. Ooh, I'm going to go retrofit kit. Now it's like, I'm not even going to say a price today because it's so low sometimes. But, I mean, yeah, I'm going to put a new fixture 9 times out of 10 on that thing, on that pole. The other thing, I don't like poles, though. You know, I mean, there's a lot of – one of the things about changing – this has never been clear to me. And if someone – there's probably jurisdiction specific, but there's also ratings of poles, eh?
Yes.
And, you know, I know with LED we're always going lighter than HID. Right? But I wonder if there's any lawsuits out there or anything where you change the head on the pole and because it's longer or something about the LED changes the wind rating of it or something and it goes over. Like I've done, I don't know about thousands, but definitely hundreds and hundreds of poles I've changed the lights on, not personally, but my company. And I'm wondering if there's any issues with wind rating. And I know it's not a weight rating issue, but some of those LEDs, they're really long in comparison to the HID. And I can't, it's Cobra heads as well. And it's like, I don't know if that's, I've always been worried about that. So there, I don't have trouble sleeping at night, Greg, but that's the one thing in this business, those high poles, pole masts and like the really tall ones. I always wonder, man, if one of those goes over, what's going to happen?
Yeah, no, it's a legitimate thought because I remember when fluorescents were. Did you ever see the fluorescent area lights, like four lamp T5s? Now we're talking a 4 foot fixture going in place of that. That's a definite wind hazard. And those are sails basically. And I remember seeing a job that we didn't do, fortunately, but somebody else did where the light fixture actually flew off the pole because it was 4 feet long, and the other one was 12 inches wide or whatever. So it's definitely something to think about.
I think it's four words. I got four words for you. Something like that happens.
Okay. What do you got?
Call your insurance company.
I didn't count. Four or five.
Let's something like that. Hello, insurance broker. Remember I paid you for the last 15 years? Yeah, remember that? I got a little something to tell you about. It happened. Something happened. Yep. What happened? Yep. Well, I've had one insurance claim. Maybe that's an episode on its own. That's a whole episode. That's a whole story. So thank you for listening to our How Would You Retrofit That show on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. Keystone Technologies. Go to KeystoneTech.com. That's right. KeystoneTech.com, the Keystone State, right in Pennsylvania. Greggy, tell me a little bit about your sign hero. Get your sign hero on for me for a second.
Well, I was saying I'm going to run away from it, from signs, fluorescent signs. You're saying I should go attack it and attack it with the sign hero. Bring that thing with me. It is a legitimate solution and something I definitely have done more signs now because of that. Whereas before I did run, I still run sometimes, but if you're not going to run and you've got a product, the sign hero is the one for you. It converts it from fluorescent to LED, bypasses the ballast, saves energy, lasts longer, does everything you need it to do on a sign.
Go to KeystoneTech.com, baby. That's KeystoneTech.com. And then after that, after you're done buying your sign hero, go to GetAGripOnLife.com. That's my own podcast. Hey, it's just about what I'm talking about other than lighting. So GetAGripOnLife.com. I'm the host of the show. Greg's not a part of that. It's all me, baby. And just outside guests talking about fitness, entrepreneurship, politics, just all sorts of different topics. It's fun, exciting, and if you like my style, you like that. If you love to hate me, you'll like it too. And remember, folks, this episode and every episode of the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast is sponsored and associated with the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. And guess what? The upcoming TLD, there's a little surprise on the cover, son. On the cover of the TLD. I don't think it sounds as good, does it? Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers. On the cover of the TLD. There you go. So, yeah, Greg and Michael Colligan, Greg Eric and Michael Colligan are on the cover of today's lighting distributor. So check it out. Go to NAILD.org, getagriponlighting.com, get a grip on life. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. Thanks for listening.
Written on the rectory wall, there's a sign there for all.